Robbie Romeiser here. Be sure to stay tuned after the on-air segment of Career Callings for special bonus material recorded specifically for the benefit of my podcast listeners.
Do you know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. That's... it's just an awful feeling.
Mighty Maestro Gary Miller, I have to tell you that I'm very disappointed in you today, sir.
Oh, no. What have I done now?
Remember last week when we were together in studio, I was suffering from a cold, and you were kind enough to give me a Ricola cough drop.
And I prayed for you during the week, too.
You did?
Yeah,
I felt it. I did. That was very good of you. Well, you're not very good this week because the cold is almost gone, but it's still lingering a little bit. You probably can't hear it in my voice. But I might just cough a time or two.
Oh, no.
Just for good measure, I may cough a time or two. And you did not offer me a Ricola cough drop. I don't want an icebreaker. I want a cough drop, man. And you're supposed to be my pharmacist.
I'll see what I can find.
You're worthless. You're worthless. But that's okay. I love you anyway. Love you anyway. Welcome to another edition of the Career Callings Pharmacy School. I'm sorry, Career Callings Radio Show. Where our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created them to do. Hope you can join us today by phone, text, or email. Phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. Now also available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spreaker.com, and TuneIn Radio. So after we are on the air, you're welcome to download a version of this broadcast via podcast on any of those platforms. And also, if you've been blessed by the Career Callings Radio Show and like to buy stuff on Amazon.com, please consider shopping on Amazon.com from our CareerCallings.net resources page. Career Callings is now an Amazon.com affiliate, so each purchase you make by linking to Amazon from our resources page will go to support the show, and that's careercallings.net/resources. Now, I have an awesome show planned for you today, not because I am going to be the star, because, when I'm the star, it's never awesome. Now, when Mighty Maestro is the star, it's awesome, and when people like Jeff Stallings are the star of the show, it's also an awesome show. Jeff, along with his wife, Lisa, started Mobile Attic Portable Self-Storage of South Carolina in the spring of 2004 with 20 containers and one truck in Columbia, South Carolina. Over the past 12 years, Mobile Attic has experienced consistent annual growth of 10 to 15% per year, which is pretty awesome, Mighty Maestro, if you didn't know that, and now has grown to over 800 containers, 9 trucks, about 15 employees, and operates in 3 locations. Jeff is also a committed Christian, and the purpose statement for his business is to impact the world for Christ through portable self-storage. He's involved with a group called C12, a group of Christian business leaders who meet together monthly to discuss good business practices and how to use their businesses as a ministry. Welcome to the program, Jeff Stallings. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on your program.
Man, I'm excited to have you on the program and just learn a little bit more about how the Lord has enabled you to build what you have built with Mobile Attic, and also the bits of wisdom that you can share from your experiences about how other people can pursue God's calling in their life vocationally. And so to kind of launch off that conversation, tell us a little bit about where you are in your career today, anything that you may want to add to that bio I just articulated, and then how you're generating income for your family through the business.
No, as you said, we started the business about 12 years ago. We started off with my father-in-law was actually our first employee. And after a year, we hired our first full-time employee, and we just started growing it. I was told a long time ago that the secret to business is just doing the small things and doing them well. And that's what we've tried to focus in on, just returning phone calls, taking care of customers, doing the right thing, being above board. It's those small things that are easy, but yet are so hard at the same time. So very, very hard to do.
Mm-hmm. What's the hardest part about doing those small things? Is it just the amount of time that you have to invest or just dealing with people? What's the hardest thing about doing those things?
For me personally, the hardest thing is doing them consistently and just being consistent.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to go out and write a blog for your website one or two times, but it's hard to do it consistently every week over a period of time.
That is so true.
Yeah.
Have you ever read the book? This is kind of an aside that just popped into mind based off what you just said, but have you ever read the book Great by Choice by Jim Collins?
You know, I've not read Great by Choice, but I have read Good to Great.
Good to Great. Well, I have not read Good to Great yet, but I'm reading Great by Choice right now. And he was, and I'm sure there's some similarities between those two, but basically he says in there that companies that survive the hardest times are the ones that are the most consistent in sticking by their formula for success. And you just confirmed.
Absolutely.
You just confirmed that. Your growth, 10 to 15% per year of growth in any business is wonderful. And to be able to do that consistently as long as you have is just a dedication and a discipline to being consistent in the formula that works. So God bless you for that. Tell us a little bit about how you got to where you are with Mobile Attic. What's the journey? What were the career steps that have taken you to where you are today?
I graduated from graduate school, and my first job after undergrad was working for Ford Motor Credit in collections. And I had a chance to just experience life working for Ford Motor Credit. I hated the job. Being a collector is a tough, grueling job, but I learned so much. And I think it's that way in life that sometimes you look back on the things that were the hardest and you realize that you learned the most from them. And God just really used that company to teach me a lot. He taught me that I wasn't cut out to work for a big company, number one. The whole corporate structure and the big company environment just wasn't for me personally. But I also had a chance to work with a lot of individuals that were paying really high interest rates and were in cars they couldn't afford, and I had a chance to do a lot of lifestyle counseling, if you will. And God really used that time at Ford Credit to teach me a lot about the power and the value of maintaining a good credit score and running your life in a way that you're able to have money in the bank to pay your bills and to live below your means. And in many ways, that time at Ford Motor Credit provided a good launching pad for the future. I was a 22-year-old kid that had no idea what was going on, and hearing stories of people and seeing them and running their credit scores and realizing that they had made decisions that would impact them for many, many years in the future. It was just very eye-opening. It was eye-opening in many ways. Side note, I had a chance to go back and thank my manager at the time. Recently, I had a chance to go back and thank him for giving me the opportunity that he gave me so many years ago.
What did he say? What did you say when you thanked him?
And just that he had no idea. He had no idea that the impact that his decision to hire me back in '96 had had on this 22-year-old kid, and that I had taken the lessons that I learned and applied them, and still apply them in my life every day. It was powerful.
I tell you.
So after Ford Credit, I had a chance to go back to graduate school, and I got my international MBA degree, and I had a chance to experience life in Austria, and I got married and started a family. But I worked for a small company for a couple of years, and I got a chance to experience small business, and quite frankly, just really fell in love with small business. The chance to interact with folks directly and to have just a true impact and make decisions. So several years later, I wrote this this business plan, and I'd always been interested in starting a business, and I wrote this business plan, and it was the first time I'd ever really done that. It was about a 30-page long business plan, and I went out and I got advice and counsel, and I talked to a bunch of different people, I talked to a banker, and I talked to, you know, retired business executives. I talked to my parents, my in-laws, and I really talked to just all kinds of people seeking just good wisdom. And my question for them was always, tell me why this won't work. And this was a business plan for Mobile Attic. Tell me what I'm missing. Tell me what I haven't thought about. Tell me why this won't work. And the final straw was I had paid a retired bank executive, older retired bank executive. He read business plans in his spare time, and that was kind of his passion. And I had paid him $300 to read my business plan and to just shoot it apart. And he was kind of the final straw. Everyone else had been giving me encouragement, and he read it and went through it, and he liked it. But he said, you've understated your projections for years 3 through 5. And I said, I understand that. That was intentional. I did it on purpose just because I wanted to be conservative. I said, so what else? What else is there? And he said, no. He goes, you got to go back and restate these projections because you just understated them. And you need to go back and take a look at them because I think they'll be higher than they really are. And I said, why? Again, that was intentional. I did it on purpose. I wanted to be conservative. I said, is there anything else there? You know, and I'd asked that same question a couple of times because I'm thinking, surely there's a 30-page long business plan. Surely there's more there than that. And he kept on going back to the understating the projections, for years 3 through 5. And finally I said, sir, is that all that you were able to see, the only flaws you were able to find? He said, yeah, because I think you got a great plan. So at that point, it was time to launch off. And there was this crazy local bank that was willing to give me startup financing. I'm still with that bank today, and we pushed off.
Amen.
And we haven't looked back since.
Well, I tell you
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Joe. Go.
No, God has blessed the effort. We've been very fortunate. Very, very fortunate.
Well, very good. We've got about a minute left in this segment. I just want to kind of share 3 takeaways I took from your story. Number one, learn from each experience that you have in your career. Just that Ford Motor Credit experience. You said you hated the job, but what we need to understand here is that, you know what, no matter where the Lord has put you, you have something you can learn from where you are right now. Just like there's a prophet in every part of the Bible, there's prophet in every vocational position we're in the world right now. Number two, impact on others. Your boss impacted you in a way that no one knew 20 years ago, whatever, that he would impact you. So we need to understand we have that kind of impact on people as well. And number three, wise counsel. I can't tell you how many times I've had people like you, Jeff, tell me that one of the reasons why I'm a success is because I had enough sense to listen to other people who were older and wiser who could guide me down the right path. And we'll pick up with our discussion with Jeff Stallings of Mobile Attic on the other side of the break. Let me tell you about something my family did several years ago. We dropped our health coverage and joined Samaritan Ministries, a Christian medical needs sharing ministry that's been around since 1994. Joining Samaritan Ministries not only saved my family hundreds of dollars per month, it also helped us stop paying insurance premiums that were funding all kinds of unbiblical practices that we don't support. Every month, more than 49,000 households of Samaritan Ministries share more than $14 million in medical needs under a program that satisfies the Affordable Care Act's requirement that you have insurance or pay a penalty tax. The program also gives you total control over which doctors you see. The Romeiser family has found a health care home at Samaritan Ministries, and we'd like to invite you to join us. To learn more about Samaritan Ministries and if it's right for you, go to SamaritanMinistries.org. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And if you choose to apply, be sure to support Career Callings by letting them know that Robbie Romeiser referred you. I opened the digital doors of CareerCallings.net in 2014. I did the same with my daily devotional site, TodaysQuoteFromGod.com, in 2012. Since day one, I've hosted both of my websites with award-winning HostGator. HostGator raises the bar for speed, reliability, support, and value. If you need a place to host your new or existing website, go to careercallings.net/resources to get 20% off new web hosting plans as a Career Callings listener. That's careercallings.net/resources. The Romeiser family became Amazon Prime members years ago. With fast free shipping, exclusive access to movies and TV shows, ad-free music, unlimited photo storage, and free Kindle books, it was a no-brainer. To give Amazon Prime a free test drive for your family, go to careercallings.net/resources. That's careercallings.net/resources. We all have to learn how to pursue God's calling, and that learning requires tons and tons of reading. But if you're like me, life is so busy that it's hard to find time to read. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Audible. Audible has over 180,000 audiobooks to help you listen and learn on the go. Audible has made me so much more productive, enabling me to learn while I drive, exercise, or work around the house. I know Audible can do the same for you, and that's why I've teamed up with Audible to give my listeners a free audiobook to see if audiobook learning is right for you. Go to audibletrial.com/careercallings and claim your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/careercallings, audibletrial.com/careercallings.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of. Perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Welcome back to Career Callings with Robbie Romeiser. You can join us today by phone, text, or email at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. Have on the line today here Jeff Stallings of Mobile Attic Self-Storage. And Jeff, just learning a lot of great pieces of wisdom from you and your entrepreneurial experience. And just kind of, if you don't mind, take a second just to kind of clearly define how Mobile Attic works and how it's generating income for your family before we get into some other questions.
Absolutely. That's a great question. Mobile Attic is portable self-storage. So you think about traditional self-storage, and you've got self-storage facilities out there. They're all over the country, all over the world. But then you think about portable. We bring it to the customer. So we've got a portable self-storage container that's designed to be moved, loaded. We like to say that we sell convenience. So someone is moving from one place to another. We drop off a container. They load it up, put everything they own inside it, and then we take it back and either store it for them, or we transport directly to their new home when they're ready for it. And we've got customers, you know, if you're selling a house, you got 6 months in between your home, that's our ideal customer. So we drop it off and then we'll store it for them. The other type of customer we work with was, we did a lot of these this past fall during the floods in South Carolina, mm-hmm. where the house has damage and we drop off a container and it just gives you a good, safe, dry, secure place to store your belongings while you're remodeling your home. We like to joke that people work with us because they want to, and sometimes they work with us because they have to. You know, they want to because they're moving. They have to because a fire or water damage happened, and they just got a place to store their stuff. So.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, that's a fantastic business, and one that's in great demand and for that storage space. Now, during that journey, you know, back to Ford Motor Credit and everything that led you up to where you are now with Mobile Attic, you know, most people have hit one or more low points in their career journeys that are just downright depressing, you know, gut-wrenching. And I want you to take a second to imagine that your career journey was made into a movie. And I want you to describe that scene that depicts your absolutely worst gut-wrenching career low point. And describe that to us. I want you to make us cry into our popcorn. Jeff Stallings of Mobile Attic. Tell us what you got.
No, that's a great question. And without a doubt, that would have to be the fall of 2008, the winter, right? 2008, 2009. We knew it was coming. I remember the summer of 2008 and gas prices, diesel prices had gotten up over $5 a gallon, and it was just making it hard to do business. And, you know, we had containers rented out, and as the fall 2008 came, we just watched them steadily get turned in. And you're watching the business. We've been in business about 4 years at that time, 4.5 years at that time. And, you know, you've got money in the bank. You've got reserves set up. But you've got to have revenue coming in to continue paying your bills.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember the fall. I remember the recession hitting in. And no one at that time, no one was really calling the recession. Nobody was really had a label for it. We didn't know what we were getting ready to endure. But we knew it wasn't good. And yeah, I knew with gas prices such as they were, that something had to change. And so I remember watching my rented containers gradually get turned in, and more empty containers on the lot, and the empty containers started growing. And we had two locations at the time. We had a location in Columbia and a location in Greenville, and we were just on a really bad path. And finally in December, we reached a point where we were tapping into our reserves, and it was getting really, really scary. Mm. Painfully scary, just because we had everything. My wife had everything. Everything we owned was invested in the business, and to lose it, unimaginable.
Yeah.
So that was us. 2008, 2009, winter.
So how did you deal with that? How did you survive it?
You know, when your back is against the wall, you do the only thing you can do, and that is you start fighting. And we got desperate, and we just started reaching out. When we started the business, the way that we grew was we answered the phone and took orders. Mm. It was that easy. But when the recession hit, when the pit of the recession hit, we had to get really creative. We had to get really gritty and desperate. And when your back is against the wall, you find ways to fight. We went out and we sought counsel. It was about that time that I learned about C-12. I also got involved with some guys that were involved in marketing for self-storage and just started learning from them. And again, when you're desperate, it's amazing the advice that you'll listen to. And we got trained on how to run a business the right way, how to take orders, how to talk to customers, how to follow up. We got reintroduced to some of the basics of returning phone calls and follow-up programs and just doing the basics and taking care of customers. And quite frankly, we were blessed. God took care of us. There were a couple of natural disasters during that time. There were some fires down in Myrtle Beach that helped our business. And we were just blessed. But we had to fight through it. We just had to fight through it. It was not an easy time. I can look back on it and tell you that somehow, some way through that, we ended up growing, I think, 10, 15% that year. But it wasn't easy.
You know,
it was very scary.
Very scary. Well, I tell you, as you're telling that story, the verse that comes to mind is the verse that goes, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." And what you did is you followed and helped me out, Maestro. I always forget the actual verses ahead of time. I can cite what's in there. I always forget the memory. Is it Peter, 1 Peter 3:15 that says, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you? I think that's right. And if it's not, we're going to act like it's right
until I
can go find it later on and correct it next week, right? So, but you casted your care on the Lord Jesus and then acted in strength in him. God is the one who gives us both the will and the power to do his good pleasure. And what I heard you just say, Jeff, is that you asked him to give you that strength, and then you acted upon the strength that he gave you so that you didn't faint in the day of adversity, and your strength wasn't small because you relied on Christ to give you the strength you needed to get through that tough time. Does that sound
absolutely
like a good summary of what you just said?
Absolutely.
And that's something we
absolutely
all need to do. That's something we all need to do. And I tell you, we get so beaten down as Christians so many times because we forget to access the Lord's strength to do what he wants us to do. We always try to do it in our own power, and when we do that, we fail. We fail all the time if we don't do it in his power. Next question I want to ask you is this. Was there ever a time in your life where you just had an aha moment when it became extremely clear to you how to make your career journey for the Lord more successful?
Yeah. I think there have been several of those along the way, and you just look back and you just you're just blown away. I think realizing that with Mobile Ag, that we have a chance to help people, and we have a chance to serve people. And we view it as a business, as a ministry. Moving is a very stressful time. And we've got an opportunity to reach out and to meet a need that just was not being met. We're in the convenience business. We believe that, and I don't think there's anything wrong with this, I think people are inherently lazy. And if you can give them an easier way to do things, then that's attractive. Mm-hmm. And that's the business that we're in. And through that, it opens up opportunities and opens up doors to serve in ways that we wouldn't have otherwise. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, just out of curiosity, do you have opportunities to share the gospel with people in your business?
We do. We do. You talk about learning through bad situations. We had a container at one point that fell on a lady's feet and hurt her. And because of that, we were forced to do a warning sticker on the side of our containers that kind of alerted you, hey, this thing can shift. And through that, we thought, you know, if we're going to do this warning sticker and we have to put it inside of all of our containers, what can we add to that to have an impact? And so we went out and we registered the website, peaceandmoving.com, www.peaceandmoving.com. And the plan eventually is to put, you know, a gospel presentation on there and a whole website dedicated to it. But until we do that, what we've done is we forwarded that to one of Billy Graham's websites. Mm. It has just a very clear gospel presentation. And the thought is that if someone is sitting in a container loading it up, they see the website and they're curious about it, and they click on it, they're going to get a very clear, succinct gospel presentation.
I tell you what, just goes back to reminding us that, you know what, no matter where you are in your career, it is your mission field. It absolutely is.
And we ought to
act on that. Well, we got about a minute left, Jeff, and we're sadly almost out of time, and I've got so much more I want to talk to you about. But with the little bit of time we got left, in about 60 seconds or so, I want you to imagine that you're sitting in a room of high school seniors, and you have the opportunity to give them your greatest piece of career advice as they go out into the real world to serve the Lord vocationally. What would that piece of real career advice be?
You know, without a doubt, be true to yourself. Just be true to who you are and do what you say and say what you do and just keep it simple. And realize also, the other advice would be that it goes by fast. You blink, your kids are growing up or getting older, and, you know, we started business 12 years ago, and it feels like it was yesterday. It just goes by way too fast.
Yeah, yeah.
So just enjoy every stage of life where you are. Just enjoy it.
Absolutely. Hey, and I'm sure there's probably some people listening that might have a need for your services. So in about 15 or 20 seconds, tell us how people can get in touch with you, especially if they want to do some business with Mobile Attic.
Yeah, absolutely. Go to our website, mobileattic.net, www.mobileattic.net. And if you find us that way, make sure you tell us that you saw us on the program. And I'd love to reach out to you and connect with you personally. So, yeah, thank you for that.
You bet, man. Fantastic. Well, we had a great time. Jeff Stallings of Mobile Attic. And, man, it's been a blessing for me to hear you talking about your career journey and where you are today. And just Lord bless you and your efforts. And if you'd like to have a copy of today's broadcast, go to careercallings.net/radio, and we store all of our broadcasts on the website there, or you could subscribe on iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, or TuneIn Radio as well. And we'll have links to various websites and such that we talked about on the program today at careercallings.net/radio. God bless, and see you next week.
All right, we don't normally do this on the Career Callings radio show, but I was having such a fantastic time talking to Jeff Stallings, and I ran out of time on air to ask him all the questions I wanted to ask him. I just decided to have a little bonus material time with you here on the Career Callings radio show. So if you're tuning into the podcast, you're going to get some extra value from my guest, Jeff Stallings, today, as I continue to ask some additional questions that we were not able to cover on air. So, Jeff, are you ready to be the star of the show yet again?
Absolutely. I had so much fun the first time that I wanted to take another shot and try it again. So, yeah,
awesome.
Absolutely.
Awesomeness. Well, here's one of the questions we did not get to on the air, but I definitely wanted to ask you. As an entrepreneur, what would you consider to be your biggest weakness?
That's a wonderful question. And for me, it's details. I am not a detail person at all. I love to fly by the seat of my pants. I love gray. Some folks love black and white. I love gray. My wife loves black and white. She likes things very clear and spelled out. I love gray. And that serves me well in certain situations, but really bad in other situations because folks like to know what the rules are. And for me, they're always a moving target. And, you know, what I found is that when I was starting my business, that did serve me well because I was flexible and open to change and new ideas. But as we've gotten farther along, it's really hurt me. And I've had to bring in more and more people who are much more black and white and clear to assist me. And there's been some clashes, quite frankly, with personalities because I like gray. And they like black and white. And those two things don't always mix together well.
Gotcha, gotcha. But from an in-house operational standpoint, I mean, you've recognized the details aren't your thing. So what you've done to be successful is surround yourself with people that can shore up your weakness and in that regard. And I tell you, that's all my studies on what makes people successful in business, you know, that's one of the key things is understand that you need to focus on your strengths and let other people shore up your weaknesses, because no matter how much you desire to be an opera singer, if you don't have a good voice, you can practice until the cows come home and you will still never be an opera singer.
Yeah.
Because you just don't have that strength. Speaking of strength.
Well, I think that's one of the keys to being an entrepreneur is know what you're good at, but also know what you're not good at.
Yep.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
I know. And
we can't all be that star player.
I know, and we all think at some point in our lives that we have to do it all and that we should do it all and we should be able to do it all. And if we don't do it all, there must be something wrong with us. Well, that's not true. It's just that God gave each one of us strengths and weaknesses in the body of Christ so that we can be used in various ways for His glory and for the betterment of other people. So,
absolutely.
Well, speaking of strengths, what would you say is your biggest strength? Is it that being able to see things in gray, or is there another strength that you'd like to share with us?
You know, there was a race car driver one time that made the comment. They asked him why he'd been so successful. And his comment was, and he said it in all true humility. And I would say the same thing in pure humility as well. I feel like I'm just too stupid to quit sometimes. And I mean that sincerely.
That's awesome.
You know, there's a quality trait out there called grit and persistence, pleasantly persistent. And I can absolutely drive people nuts, and I know that. I absolutely know that. But I think in this business, I've just been too stupid to quit a few times. And it's funny. I'll share a side note with you. We talked earlier about my business, Mobile Self-Storage, and we are in a niche of niches. We're a niche of the self-storage industry, so we're in a real niche. And when we got started, we were one of the first ones out there doing it. We had a competitor, Pods, but we were still one of the very first ones doing it. And so I can remember being in the truck and dropping off a container, and people would look at me and say, wow, I really wish I had thought about this idea. And the person I thought about this must be, you know, just doing amazing. And I'd look at them and I'd say, you know, I really wish you thought about it too. it's a whole lot more work than you know. Are you cool with this? Yes, I did. Look at me. I'm driving the truck. And,
Isn't it always more work than you think on the surface? I tell you, it really is. And logistically speaking, and this is just a curiosity question. Now, is Mobile Attic a franchise, or is it something that you actually created yourself?
We used to be part of a franchise, and that's a whole other radio show in and of itself. But we used to be part of a franchise. We were part of a very bad franchise, very, very bad franchise. We used to joke that the depth of their incompetence had absolutely no bounds. And think about that one for a second.
Yeah, really.
The depth of their incompetence had absolutely no bounds. About 4 or 5 years ago, they went through a really rough time, and they weren't providing any value. And so we signed some paperwork saying that we wouldn't sue them for what they should have done as a franchisor. And in return for that, they gave us lifetime rights to the name and our markets. Oh. And then as an added bonus, as an added bonus, the founder of the business went off to federal prison for some things that he had done.
Wow.
So we are independent. We started with a franchise, but we are completely independent at this point.
You know,
I own the rights to South Carolina.
You know, the funny thing is that even in that story, there's a lesson to be learned, and that lesson is this. You know, in your business, you're going to have ups and downs, and when the downs come, you can let those downs either destroy you, or you can use those as an opportunity to be gritty, dig deep, put your heels in the sand, and push forward in a direction that enables you to keep working in the direction the Lord wants you to work. And, you know, some people would have had that issue with corporate and would have just used that as an excuse to shut down. But you did not, and God bless you for sticking with it.
That's one of those too stupid to quit kind of things, I guess.
That's a trait that every good entrepreneur has, believe it or not. Some just aren't willing to admit it like you are, so God bless you for being willing to admit it.
Hey.
Was there a time in your life when you were confused about which career path God would have you follow? And if there was, when and how did that smoke clear so that the path became evident?
Yeah, absolutely. I am a geek as far as business goes, and I've always been intrigued by business. And growing up, my father had a construction company, and it was a good construction company, but I saw him working really hard and a business that I loved watching. I loved spending time with him. I loved hanging out with him. My father and I are close, but I saw him not enjoying it. And as I was growing up, middle school, high school, I'd work with him and know that he didn't enjoy it and just not sure that I wanted to do it. Although it was kind of in front of me, and it was mine to take over if I wanted it. The other thing I wrestled with, quite frankly, was the fact that with construction and engineering, there's a lot of math required, and I didn't like math. And I just didn't care for it. And I knew early that was a requirement for that industry and that business, and having that mathematical kind of mind. And I wrestled with it because I struggled with math in school. I was more of an English and science, English and social studies kind of person. And I just wrestled with it. And because it was a family business, it was kind of expected. But fortunately, my father was very gracious in that area, very gracious, and I was allowed to find my own path. But it was not easy.
There are so many lessons I could pull from that, but that one I want to key in on is the fact that you said it was expected for you to be able to take over that construction business. One of the main reasons why people make bad career decisions is because they are trying to live up to somebody else's expectations. I mean, how many people go into the medical field because parents said, "Hey, you can make a lot of money there, and you're smart, you'd be good at medicine." And then, you know, people get into that and they get miserable for one reason or another. I've actually, you know, as I've said on the show and I've said to you, you know, not only am I a commercial real estate broker, I'm also a real estate educator. I can't tell you how many nurses and doctors have come through our real estate school because they're looking for a career change because they just don't fit in that world. And they're looking for something else that fits their personality, their skills and their strengths and their passions a little bit more. So, man, I tell you, anybody listening to this program right now, don't make a career choice because someone else says you ought to do it. You need to get into your prayer closet with the Lord and do some self-searching, figure out what He designed you to do, how He designed you to do what kind of work, and then find work that's in alignment with the way He made you.
That is so true. I mean, be open to what other people are saying because sometimes people see things that we don't realize. But man, you're right. Somebody made a comment one time I read recently. It said, anybody who thinks that money will make you happy doesn't have any money. And yeah. They've never been rich.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You know, so if you do it for the money, watch out.
Yeah, exactly. And you're right, too. I didn't want to be too exclusive. Absolutely, we ought to get wise counsel from other people. But it ought to be in the venue of, what have you seen me do excellently? What have you seen me do well?
Absolutely.
Because that's a real clue into what kind of work God's designed you to do. If you have people that around you that constantly praise you for a particular thing that you do naturally well, that is one of the biggest clues to the type of work, some type of work that will make use of that strength is where your calling lies.
But by the same token, if somebody says, you need to do this, you need to be a doctor or a lawyer because you make a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
Watch out.
Yeah.
Washouts.
Yeah, that's one of the worst reasons to make a career choice, absolutely. Now, has there been a time in your life when God directed you down a career path that you just did not want to go down or make any sense to you?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Tell me about that.
Yes. I was a senior in college, graduate in college, and I had been dating this girl for 3 or 4 years, and I knew we were going to break up. 3 years at that point. I knew we were going to break up. I was in South Carolina, lived in South Carolina, grew up in Atlanta, and I wanted to get back to Atlanta. And so I was interviewing. It was my senior year at University of South Carolina. I was interviewing, and I was a college senior that I felt at some point that God had called me to work internationally and to go back to graduate school. And so I was going to interviews, and I was just being very open with folks about that. And I had a lot of companies just shut me down and say, that's not what we're after. And oh, by the way, I know you feel like you need to be honest with people, but don't be quite that honest. So I had interviewed with a lot of different companies, and I had an interview with Ford Motor Credit. And I went in for the interview, and I was went into the informational session, and they said, hey, we've got a great program to pay for graduate school, and we're looking for folks that want some point to go international. So it was just like music in my ears. So I went in there, and I had a great interview. It was very open, very honest with them, very true to myself and the whole thing. And I got invited back for a second interview, and the second interview went really well. And they gave me just a list of preferences for where I'd like to be. And I knew that this girl and I were going to break up, and I just wanted to get out of Columbia. And that was just on my heart. I just wanted to go anywhere over there. So they gave me those preferences. I put down there Atlanta number one, Chattanooga number two. Yeah, I had some family in Syracuse, New York. I didn't even list Columbia on the list. I just wanted out of Columbia. just gone. Mm-hmm. Just convinced that was where I needed to be. So I put all that down there, and I remember getting back to my apartment that afternoon, and the interview been that morning. That afternoon, I got a phone call on my voicemail. I had two, actually. One from Ford Credit in Michigan saying, you've been selected for hire. Someone from a local branch will be contacting you soon. And the second voicemail on there was from a guy named Al Powell in Columbia, South Carolina, saying, hey, Jeff, we interviewed earlier today. You've been selected for hire. We want to keep you here in Columbia, South Carolina. And this is where we'd like to hire you and work things out. So I called way back in Michigan. I just said, hey, I got this call from this guy in Columbia and saying I'm been selected for hire. So how am I going to take that job, do I? She said, well, if he's already contacted you, they get first dibs because they did the interviews. And she said, you got to try and work things out with him. If they work out with him, then maybe you work somewhere else. So I called him back, and again, I went out of Columbia. And I was like, oh, why are you doing this? You know, somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Get me out of here. And I even tried to make things difficult with him. I was asking for more money and things I didn't think he could do. And dang, if he didn't do all those things. I ended up going to work for Ford Motor Credit in Columbia, South Carolina. No desire to be here whatsoever. This girl and I were dating, ended up breaking up. But I was in Columbia, and it turned out that, you know, we broke up about 6 months or so, and we got back together, and it's my wife Lisa now, and, you know, 18 years of marriage later and 3 kids. But I wanted nothing to do with it. I thought I knew what I wanted, and I thought I knew where I wanted to be, and it didn't involve Columbia, South Carolina. I wanted somewhere else. But the Lord just really worked that out. And as I mentioned in the other program earlier, Al Powell was one of the people who just had a profound impact on my life and helped me get into graduate school. And I learned a lot there, but I wanted nothing to do with it. I didn't want to be there.
Wow. You know? Well, what's the big lesson you learned from that experience that you can share with the audience?
You know, sometimes there's a country song out there that says, I thank God for unanswered prayers. And I can't tell you how many times I've thanked him for unanswered prayers and things I thought I wanted, things that you thought you wanted, that you're like, you know, Lord, if you answered that, that'd been bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just taking it in stride and just being really open. God has a way of working things out when he wants them to work out. And sometimes his answer, you know, he gives us a couple different answers. Yes, no, and not right now.
Mm-hmm.
And those are answers that oftentimes we just don't want to hear sometimes. We really want to hear what we want to hear. But
isn't it great? Isn't it great that the Lord directs our steps?
Absolutely.
What was holding you back, if anything, from pursuing God's calling in your life?
you know, fear is always a big, what, fear of failure? What happens if it doesn't work out?
Did you have a fear issue when you were looking at doing mobile attic self-storage, portable self-storage?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How did you overcome
it? In my case, I overcame it by seeking a lot of wise counsel. I did my homework. I did a lot of homework. I gave several people in my life the freedom to shoot me down and to shut the project down. But I also did my homework, and I did a lot of research, spent a whole lot of time in prayer. And I knew going in that if it was going to work, it had to be God's hand. And there were several things that I put completely in his hands and just gave freedom to. It's funny, and I hope this makes sense, but oftentimes if I want to do something and I know I want to do it and I don't want you to tell me no, then I'm not going to expose myself to you. I'm pretty much going to, I may ask your advice, but I've already got my mind, I'm going to do it. But if I'm in a place where I really think I've got, and especially if I think I'm trying to get away with something, if there's something you're thinking about doing that's not quite right, but if you don't want anybody to tell you no, you may ask a little bit of advice, but you already have your mind, you're going to do it regardless, and you're not really asking for their advice. Maybe their blessing, but not their advice.
Right.
But then there's other times when, you feel like with my wife, I did my research. I wrote a 30-page business plan. I sought wise counsel. I really, really believed in it. And I was just in a very humble place where if someone was capable of telling me why it's a bad idea, I was genuinely willing to listen. Now, they would probably get an argument back, because I had put my time into the homework, but if someone could really give me a good reason why it wouldn't work, I was just in a place where I was ready to debate. I was ready to argue. I was ready to be open to hearing them, and receiving their counsel. And that's where I was at Mobile Attic. I did work. I talked to about 10 different people, and no one could give me a good reason why it wouldn't work. And if anything, I had lots of folks tell me I needed to give it a shot, including my parents and my in-laws and my wife and bankers and lawyers I worked with and other folks I sought wise counsel from. And so I just got to a place where, I didn't know I had a choice but to go forward because everything had checked out.
Mm-hmm. I tell you what, it doesn't matter what the Lord has called you to do. If it requires a change of any kind, fear is a natural reaction. And what I'm gathering from that story is that we, as people trying to find or pursue God's career calling in our lives, is to understand the fear is real. It's natural. It's going to happen. But that we have an obligation to seek wise counsel and properly prepare for the path that God has shared. That's where a lot of us fall down. We just don't properly prepare and study to find out how to go about doing what we've been called to do. And between the wise counsel of others and proper preparation, then the Lord's going to give us what we need to get over that fear, no doubt about it. Well,
I did the research.
That's key. Well, I know in our on-air segment, I mentioned to you a book called Great by Choice by Jim Collins and Morton Hansen. And if you haven't read that yet, I'm almost finished reading it. And, actually I'm listening to it through, an audiobook format. Cause I've gotten to the point where I don't read very much anymore, but I'm always in the car. I'm always doing something. So being able to listen to a book, I can consume stuff. And so, I'm a big fan of audible.com, one of the sponsors of our program, where you can, buy, audiobooks to listen to. Anyway, all that being said, one of the key things and lessons in that book is that thriving businesses that perform 10 times better than their industry average have a set of durable operating practices that keep them on mission when the world around them is falling apart. And what I'd like to ask you, Jeff Stallings, is what is one durable operating practice, or if I can say it this way, one personal habit you consistently adhere to that's a major contributor to your career success?
We try and take care of customers. We try and do the right thing. It's ironic that you're asking this question because this morning I was spending time with a new employee and I was just kind of going through some As I was rescuing a truck that had broken down, I took a new employee with me and spent time with him one-on-one time. And I was just telling him that the number one thing I care about in the business is that people that we're true to our conscience and we're true to who we are, and that we have to take care of people and do the right thing and feel good about it. And for us in our business, taking care of customers is just critical. Do we fall short? Do we fail sometimes? Absolutely. Do we make mistakes? Yes, we do. But at the end of the day, it's just critical that we take care of people and provide the service that we were paid to provide. And that's not always easy. Sometimes it gets really hard. There's a lot of gray areas out there. But just taking care of customers and being true to ourselves. You know, if we're doing the customer's past due, treating them the way that we want to be treated, the golden rules, they're important. And I think people notice that. I think they hear that, and they know when you're sincere. Mm-hmm. So going through a bad situation doesn't mean they won't be mad and won't be upset. But yeah, just being really true to ourselves and true to the customer.
Yep. Treating someone as a human being, not just a number, that makes all the difference. Do you have an internet tool like Evernote or OneNote that makes you more productive?
You know, the one that I would share with your listeners would be WooFoo. That is a tool that has just rocked our world in so many different ways. WooFoo. Have you ever heard of WooFoo?
I haven't. I was about to ask you, what is WooFoo? I've not heard of that before.
WooFoo is an online form generator. And you say, why do you need an online form generator? How do you create forms? Well, in our business, we use it for things like time off requests. People can submit an online request for that, or have vacation time off. I even use it as create a form for new hires to go through and fill an application online. Receipt tracker, you can fill out the form and attach pictures to it, so a receipt tracker. We use it. We even have our contract now, online contract. We'll go through our online contract on WooFoo. And it's just a powerful, powerful, powerful tool. My drivers use WooFoo to do daily inspection reports on all the trucks. So their daily log, you know, they walk around the truck and make sure the trucks are in good running order. All of that is a checklist on WooFoo now. They submit it and it gets filed away and protected. If someone forgets to clock in or clock out, they can submit a change on WooFoo to have their time adjusted, and it just keeps it together in a very organized fashion. And it's just been an absolutely invaluable tool for us as a company.
Is it WUFU.com?
I think it's WUFFO, WUFU.
Okay. All right. Great. Well, last question I've got here for you, Jeff, is this. If you could recommend just one book for our listeners, what would it be?
One of my favorite books is a book called The Go-Giver. And it's a book that I've given out many, many times. And it's got some very simple, simple principles in it. It's not a Christian book, per se, that I know of. Although a lot of the lessons could absolutely be taken out of the Bible. But it's one of the parable-type books that you read it, and you it's like reading a story. And it's a parable. But it's just a phenomenal book. I've read it multiple times, and it's the type of book that, quite honestly, if you're reading really fast, you sit down and read it about an hour. It's a quick read. It's a very quick read. If you're enjoying it, you know, obviously a couple hours on there. But it just goes through some very basic principles, and it tries to teach some very basic principles like the law of receptivity, you know, your value, the value that you receive is a direct proportion of the value that you give, and being open to receive after you've given value. There's just some very basic, about five basic core principles in the book that have just been great, kind of keep it between the road kind of things for me.
Well, that wraps it up, Jeff. I tell you, that was fantastic and bonus material for our audience. And just one last time, I know we did this on the on-air segment, but for people who want to reach out to you, how can they do that?
They can give me a call my office, and they can get in touch with me. Or even my email address is jeff@movelight.net. jeff@movelight.net. I'll give my cell phone out there as well if anyone wants to reach out to 803-553-0002. So I'm available.
And how about the website there for your Mobile Addict?
www.mobileaddict.net. Mobileaddict.net.
All right, Jeff Stallings, well, thanks for your time on the phone again today for the bonus material, and God bless you and all your efforts.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around, but those dreams have remained and they've turned around. Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Back here where we need ya.
Back here where we need ya.
Yeah, they tease him a lot, 'cause we got him on the spot. Welcome back.